With the coming of the dawn, the Devils rolled out of the Box Canyon and headed north along the dried riverbed to finally reach a scraggly plain of scrub brush that slowly changed into grasslands and finally to forest. After the heat of the desert, it was a very welcome change for the bikers. The line of chained slaves didn't seem to notice the difference. Their every thought concentrated on placing one foot ahead of the other. Passing a copse of trees, a group of stickies charged at the biker gang, hooting and waving their arms like the mad things they were. The Devils hit the muties with firebombs made from glass bottles, rags, and shine. Several of the muties were engulfed by the chem flames, but still chased after the escaping food, until they simply toppled over dead, their brains literally cooked through. Denver Joe returned a Molotov into his saddlebag.
Black dust, those were hard to chill. Is it much farther to this Cannyville?
Cranston glanced sideways at the newbie.
Another day's ride. You'll know it when we get there.
That sounded rather ominous to Denver Joe, but he made no reply as the miles steadily rolled underneath the purring bikes and the frantically running slaves. High above, the purple and orange clouds crackled with sheet lightning, warning of a coming storm, maybe even a twister. But there was no smell of acid rain, so the bikers kept their leisurely pace along the forested trail. Dead slaves were of no use to anybody, so every couple of hours the bikers would slow and let the people walk a few miles to catch their breath. For the hungry slaves, food would come at the end of the day, but the Devils ate while they drove, tearing off greasy chunks of dried dog wrapped in oily cloth, and drinking warm water cut with juniper berry juice from battered aluminum canteens. The trees were becoming thick in the heart of the forest, and soon the gang was rolling along a narrow trail through the tall evergreens and oaks, the ground covered with a thick carpet of pine needles that sweetly scented the air. Without warning, there was a loud crunching noise to one side, and a thick tree snapped off at the base to come crashing down across the path, blocking it completely.
Razor up!
Cranston drew his long blaster and thumbed off the safety. The bikes eased to a halt, and the point men instantly slipped long blasters off their shoulders, while the women pulled levers to draw their crossbows and knocked iron arrows into place. Resting both legs on the uneven dirt road, Cranston throttled down his bike's big engine and listened to the silence of the forest. Ballard's good eye swept across the trees.
What you think, Cranston?
Paying no attention to the man, Cranston leaned over the handlebars to inspect the soil. The ground here was moist but not swampy, and there was no sign of rot on any of the other trees in the area. There was no reason for a tree to just fall over like that. Crury scowled into the shadows under the dense canopy of evergreens.
Well, could have been from the rumble of our bikes.
Tatters, check the base of the tree.
Cranston pulled a pump-action shotgun from a leather holster strapped to his back. Holding tight onto the pump, he racked the weapon with one hand by simply jerking it up and down. The solid mechanical sound of the receiver taking a fat 12-gauge cartridge was reassuring to the biker. The first cartridge was pre-dark, in prime condition. The rest were handloads of questionable power. Oh, they would fire all right. He just wasn't sure how far they could throw the combo of lead and razor blades. Turning off his bike, a skinny Devil kicked out the stand and rested the machine carefully, watching the trees as much as he did the Harley. As the youngest member of the Blue Devils, Tatters always got the shit jobs. Engines purring softly, the members of the biker gang stayed on their vehicles. The patched exhaust pipe steadily puffing blue-gray clouds of exhaust as they closely watched the team go over the base of the big tree and check the exposed roots. No one spoke for a long time. There was a palatable tension in the air, as thick as a rad fog above a glass lake.
Looks rotten to me.
Tatters pried back a rubbery root with the tip of his long knife. The weapon was actually a cavalry saber taken from a pre-dark museum, but the blacksmith sharpening the blade had been careless and ground a good foot off the steel before being stopped. The short saber worked fine, and the sheath bore the same tattoo that had once been on the arm of the clumsy blacksmith.
No greasy smells or acid smell of plaz.
The blue steel of Cranston's pump action shined oily smooth in the dim of the hidden sun. Craning his neck, Tatters breathed in deep, then smiled.
Nah, it's just a dead tree. Curry must be right. Fell over from the vibes of the bikes.
Cranston eased his grip on the shotgun.
Maybe, maybe not. Everybody stay sharp. Shoot anything that moves. Ballard, Angelina, Denver, Stay here and cover us. This looks clean, but I got a tingle in my bones, like when those swampies tried to jump us outside Alamo.
A chorus of grunts signaled agreement, and the group split into two unequal parts. Revving the big engines, the Coltharts eased in their clutches and rolled off the road onto the wild grass and weeds lining the trail. Twigs snapped under the studded tires as the motorcycles drove past the leafy crown of the dead tree and safely reached the other side of the road. Easing his stance, Cranston sheathed the shotgun and sharply whistled at the other bikers. Looked like this was just a lot of crap about nothing. If this had been some sort of trap, nobody in their right mind would have let half of the group just leave. Revving their engines, the guards rolled around the tree and joined the pack again.
Ha! Wasn't nothing but a tree!
Angelina's greasy shirt was tied under her massive breasts to give them some support. The woman jiggled outrageously with every bounce, but no male in the gang ever complained about the sight.
Seems so.
Cranston worked the throttle as the bike started to stall from overheating. The damn carb was sticking again, he thought. Have to clean that tonight.
But I still got me a tingle. Let's waste a few gallons and rocket this road. There's something wrong here. I can fucking well feel it.
Crury nodded assent. Denver Joe just grunted and shrugged, as if whatever they decided was fine by him. But before the bikers could travel another yard, a loon called from the deep shadows under the evergreen. Instantly, Denver Joe dove off his bike and rolled into the bushes as if he were on fire. The unattended machine toppled over, and the engine died with a sputtering cough.
What the fuck are you doing, Denver?
Cranston stopped as there was a sudden movement among the trees, and he had only a split second to react before a massive log suspended from thick ropes slammed into his chest with the force of a cannonball. Blowing guts out of his mouth, the newly dead biker was thrown off his bike and arched through the air to land sprawling in the pine needles, as boneless as a bag of shit. Then, rusty bear traps snapped shut with bone-crushing force, the zigzag blade slicing off his hands and removing most of his thigh.
We've been suckered!
Crury fired his blaster blindly into the trees. That was the cue for all of the bikers to cut loose with their weapons. In response, six more logs came swinging from the leafy tops, two missing the bikers completely, but the other smashing men and women from their saddles, the lifeless corpses hitting tree trunks. Rising from behind a bush, Denver Joe sprayed the devils with his blaster, blowing hot lead and flame at the Coltheart holding the chain of the slaves. As the man stumbled backward in a bloody mess, the lead slave grabbed the keys off his belt and started fiddling with the locking mechanism.
You son of a bitch!
Ballard fired at Denver Joe and then at the slaves. The first prisoner caught a round in the belly and doubled over, but the second snatched the keys before they touched the dirt and started on the lock again.
Retreat!
Crury walked his bike around in a circle, but then another tree fell over, blocking the way again.
Gah! Son of a bitch!
And then a third, sealing them tightly into a killing box. With the gang cut into two groups, panic took the devils, and they wildly wasted more lead as incoming rounds started slapping into the bikers, the sniper fire cutting them down like helpless old wrinklies. Both groups pulled their bikes into circles and took refuge behind the machines, trying to get a glimpse of the attackers. But the shadows were too thick, and the only signs were brief flashes of muzzle fire, stabbing from the darkness in 100 different locations.
Nuke in hell! How many of them are there?
Bullets hummed past Ballard, but he continued to shove fresh rounds into his long blaster with shaking hands. He knew that being scared didn't chill a person, but freezing motionless in fear sure as hell did. Flinching as a round scored her cheek, Angelina shot back.
Ah! What's this sniping shit? Why didn't they just nuke us with more trees?
How the hell do I know? Maybe they want our hogs!
Tatters grabbed Cranston's fallen scattergun. Briefly, he checked the weapon, then triggered the 12-gauge at the hidden snipers as fast as he could. Mostly, just leaves went flying. Then a man cried out and fell into view, his leg pumping blood. The bikers cheered, but then two of the devils broke ranks and tried to make a run past the fallen trees. As they climbed on top, a machine gun opened fire, cutting them down. Just then, a biker shouted in warning, and Crury turned to see the slaves escaping into the trees, Denver Joe waving them on to safety. Son of a bitch was a spy. If he ever got his hands on the muty fucker, it'd take him a year to die in the learning tree. Using a knife to slash open a saddlebag, Crury grabbed spare ammo from the tumble of supplies, then froze as he felt a tremor shake the ground. Underfoot, the pine needles began to dance about, the vibration slowly increasing until he heard a crashing noise and a huge armored wag rolled into view from down the path. Then another appeared in the opposite direction, the two transports covered with machine gun ports and stubby cannons spitting flame.
More wags! Use the Molotovs! Fucking help!
Throw them now!
Tatters lit a rag fuse and heaved the glass bottle into the fallen trees. The gang heaved Molotovs in every direction until it seemed as if the forest were on fire. Grabbing a bag of ammo from a dead friend, Tatters let a charge into the billowing clouds of smoke, firing at anything in his way, trees, bushes, and chilling a startled slave. Crashing through the underbrush, the team led the gang through a thicket, the thorns ripping every inch of exposed skin, only the thick leather sleeves on their raised arms protecting faces. Something streaked through the trees to violently detonate in the leafy greenery. A tree blowing apart and sending out a lethal spray of flaming splinters. A biker dropped, the entire left side of his body riddled with burning debris. The devil alongside the dying man grabbed his fallen blaster and took off running, leaving the mortally wounded man alone in the bushes. Another biker tried to fire over his shoulder and ran face first into a tree. The limp manner in which he slumped to the ground was more than enough to indicate that the woman had just chilled herself. Scrambling over a rock, Tatters paused to catch his breath as a familiar sound caught his attention. There were waves lapping on a shore. They had to be near the Nesse River. Endless crashing sounded behind the gang as the war wags tried to force their lumbering way through the thick growth of trees. Machine guns hammered steadily, tracer rounds stitching through the air over the racing bikers as they took off on an angle following the sound of the water. Then the bushes abruptly stopped at the edge of a crest, and there before them was the Nesse. A wide span of clear blue dotted with tiny islands. Knowing the heavy war wags could never follow them into the muddy river, the Coldhearts threw themselves down the sloping bank, tripping over exposed rocks and roots, a few losing their footing. Splashing into the shallows, the bikers hastily waded for the deep water, the currents tugging at their limbs constantly trying to drag them down. As they reached the midspan, harsh illumination crashed across the river from a sandbar upstream, and the devil's curse to see two pre-dark Hummers sitting on the hard-packed sand, brilliant halogen headlights fanning across the water.
Get those lights!
Tatters fired his blaster. Then the hand cannon jammed on a bad round, and he bent to afford as small a target as possible while he struggled to clear the breach. Bastard reloaded bullet had blown, and the split brass had flowered in the ejector. Damn blaster was useless now. Casting it aside, the teen abandoned the rest of his gang and dove into the water, trying to swim away while submerged. The chaos above became only flashes of light and muffled thumps.